The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to rising young singer-songwriter Sarah Miles. She's here in support of her third record, Hear Me Out. Maybe you once caught her on the road with Sister Hazel, or on campus at the University of Vermont, or even at the White House, perhaps. Well, stick around. This young lady has all the tools. And she's a Jersey girl, so you know she knows how to use them.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of young people whose singing in the shower will never be recorded for posterity in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Sarah Miles has a beautiful singing voice. It's that simple. Sounds great, terrific range, she's a little bit country, and possesses the talent to write songs that suit her best. What more could you possibly need to know? All right. You tuned in, so I'm going to throw you a few more bones. She's just released her third album, Hear Me Out. Her song, Something About You, was featured on NBC's The Voice. She toured with Sister Hazel, among many others. And perhaps most important, to me at least, she grew up in the same part of central New Jersey that Tim Howard and I did. So I'm sure we'll have lots of similar memories of Buxton's Ice Cream Parlor, PJ's Pancake House, the Princeton Garden Theater, Wawa, and the Quaker Bridge Mall. Oh, look, she's, yes, all right. I thought she was going to like roll her eyes like, I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Media. Because obviously I'm not that much older than her if we have these same places in common, right? I mean, anyway, you can order her new album wherever you usually buy digital music, such as iTunes. And look for Sarah this summer and this fall on the road at the Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, or in Nashville at the Bluebird Cafe, and at the University of New Hampshire and Castleton State College in Vermont. And for dates and details and all of that, you can visit her website, sarahmilesmusic.com. It's all solid, Sarah with an H, milesmusic.com. And stay tuned here as Sarah will be performing two songs from Hear Me Out live on Mr. Media. And with that, Sarah Miles, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm so glad that you backed me up there on that Princeton stuff.
Oh my gosh, 100%.
Now, I'm not from... I'm sorry. I was going to say, I'm not from Princeton. I'm from North Brunswick down the road. But it's not that far.
Not at all.
But you're not old enough to remember Buxton, so I assume.
I don't think... That was on Nassau Street, though, right? I do know that. Yeah. I don't think I was there when I was growing up, but I do remember it being on Nassau Street.
Points to you for remembering that, knowing that that happened. I feel at least 3 years younger already. I read in some of your material that you were the youngest child ever admitted to the Westminster Conservatory Children's Choir in New Jersey. So I'm guessing you must have heard the word prodigy kicked around here and there.
It was crazy. I didn't know how to read music, but my mom knew clearly that singing was something that I loved to do. So she brought me in to audition and they were like, all right, well, she needs to sing this song. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. I can't read sheet music. No way. So I like sang a song and they let me in. So it was crazy. When I would go to rehearsals, I would just listen to the people singing next to me so I could learn the music.
Wow. How old were you?
I was like 6 or 7.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
How long did you stick with that?
I was in the choir for maybe like 3 years, maybe. And then I ended up joining another choir called Princeton Girl Choir, and I was in that for like 9 years.
Wow.
And I got to travel all over the place, which was really cool. And yeah, I did a lot of choirs growing up. It was a great experience.
And did you eventually learn to read music?
I did eventually learn to read music, yeah. I started taking piano lessons, like, I guess, probably while I was in the choir. And so that eventually helped me to read the music.
I got it. That's an ability that I will never have. My daughter is very good with reading music and playing music, and she's done some composing. I don't understand it. I can look at those notes for days, and it will never make sense to you. You can explain it to me in the simplest terms. I will never, ever understand how that goes to here. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I admire that, so.
Yeah, it's cool. It's not easy, though. I mean, for me, I don't think it comes as naturally. If I had it my way, I'd probably just love to learn everything by hearing, because that's kind of how my brain works.
Right.
But if I have to do it, I can do it.
Now, how did so you're six. How does your mom decide that you sing and sound any better than the kid next door who's screeching to Madonna or whatever at the time was being played? What I mean, have you talked to her about this over the years? Like, Mom, why did you think that I could sing and, you know, and that you should pursue that?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I just remember growing up, my parents always had music playing, and my mom used to take me to a lot of Broadway shows because we lived far from New York, which was really awesome. So I just remember, I have this very distinct memory of listening to Annie, and I would sing it like in my room by myself, and I'm pretty sure she probably was like listening in and was like, I should probably do something about that.
Very nice. I would ask you to
very, very shy about it for a really long time. I didn't want anybody to hear me singing, so that changed, obviously, but yeah.
I would ask you to give us a line or two from Annie, but I'm afraid that the copyright police will be all over this, so we won't do this.
Yeah.
do you remember the first time you did sing in front of other people? Was it with the choir or was it?
I mean, yeah, I guess technically it was definitely with the choir, but my first like solo, actually, I think my first solo little performance that I had was in fifth grade, and I had a little solo part in the musical The Hobbit. And I played an old man. My hair was spray painted gray and I had a cane and I just like walked out on stage and I had like one line and that was my shining moment.
Got it. A musical of The Hobbit, huh?
Yeah. I think they were running out of plays to do, so they had to get creative.
I see. All right. I'll accept that as an answer. And did you eventually get more formal vocal training? We now know that you learned to read music, but did you doing vocal as well?
Yeah. I did a little bit in high school. After school, I would take some voice lessons. And then when I went to college, I took classical voice and jazz, actually, too, which is really cool. Hmm.
So I got to ask you this. Now, I've never sung and will never sing outside of the shower, but or maybe like in the car with no one around and the windows cranked up and the music's so loud you can't hear me over it. But the one thing I did take lessons for years ago, it's not musical, but it was boxing. And the one thing that I always thought was the stupidest thing about boxing lessons was the shadow boxing, which some people love, but I hated it. You would stand there, you know, in front of a wall and you would faint. So what I want to ask you, though, is what was the worst part of vocal training? Is there anything, any aspect of it that you just hated? Was it scales? Was it, I don't know.
Yeah, there was, actually. We had to do these, like, really embarrassing vocal warm-ups. And for some reason, I couldn't get past it because even though it was just me and one other person, I just got really, like, embarrassed to do it. It's, like, it's weird stuff, like the buzzing of your lips or being like, ee-oh-ee, you know, like weird stuff. So I could never really get into that, even though it's really important to do.
And I feel your pain. I would do the shadow boxing with the boxing only if there was no other students around.
Exactly.
You know, it would be like dancing. I would never do it in a crowd. But, you know, if there's no one around, okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then with the vocal training, was there any particularly good advice that you got over the years that stuck with you that, you know, you really appreciate at this point?
Well, it's funny because not I'm saying this, but the warming up is super, super important. And so even though I don't like to do it in front of somebody else, I will do it probably like in the shower or like, you know, in my own little private space. But that is definitely probably one of the most important things that I've taken away. Just you have to warm up before a show.
Well, I will not ask you to warm up. I will assume that you have warmed up. Knowing that you're going to play a couple songs for us today, I wondered if maybe we could get you to play Hear Me Out at this point. You've got your guitar there by coincidence, I'm sure.
I just walk around with it, you know.
Is there anything you want us to – you wrote the song, I assume, I presume.
I did, and this is the single track off of the EP. And I wrote it kind of in a down moment that I feel like probably any musician goes through. Just not feeling super confident in where I was going with my music and not sure if anybody was really there or hearing me and what I was doing. And then I wrote this awesome song that I'm so excited about. So every once in a while, you just got to have one of those days, I guess.
Excellent. All right. Well, folks, this is Sarah Miles playing Hear Me Out from her new EP, Hear Me Out.
Thinking I could make it, what to do? Not sure if I can take it
Very nice.
Yay.
Thank you very much. That was very nice. So why have the guitar handy? Let me ask you a question. Is there anything significant to you about this particular guitar? Is it
Actually, this is a new guitar, which I'm very excited about. It's my little baby.
I see.
But yeah, it's a Gibson guitar, which I've always wanted because I just love the rich tone that they have. And I actually did a lot of writing, most of the writing on this guitar for this EP.
Well, that was actually my next question, is if you're writing on guitar or piano, and hey, you just answered it right there.
Yeah, I typically write on guitar, but I did do some writing with my producer, Brian Murphy, who is an amazing piano player. So it was really fun to write with him because I don't typically write on piano, and so it was really cool to hear my music on a different instrument and just how different it can sound. So it was cool.
So let's follow some progression here. So you start singing, your mom spots the vocal talent, you do that, you learn to read music, somewhere along the line you pick up a guitar, you learn piano, and then when do you start writing music itself? I mean, that's a separate talent, and somehow you have to recognize that you can do it, I guess.
Yeah, I got my first guitar when I was 16, excuse me, and I actually didn't really like it. I was really frustrated with it because it really hurt my fingers. So I kind of put it away for a little bit. But then there were a bunch of singer-songwriters, like at the time I was like in love with Jewel and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I can try that. And so I learned like four chords and wrote a super basic love song and kind of had fun with it. And so it sort of went from there.
And what convinced you, I mean, you were working with a producer like on this album, for example, what convinced you as you started recording a few years ago to record your own music as opposed to someone else's? Was that a decision you made? Was that a decision a producer or someone else said, hey, you should do your stuff? Because a lot of times people think they can write and then, you know, someone says, you know, you'd do better to perform somebody else's material.
Yeah. I love playing cover songs and putting my own twist on them, but I think I was more one that pushed myself to write my own music because it's just so cool to put your own music out there. It's your own stories and I always kind of wanted to do my own music.
And what, I got to ask you this, what comes first? Do you do the music or the lyrics first?
It depends, actually. I feel like I usually write the lyrics first and then the melody, but I've actually been part of a really cool songwriting group, and I've been writing a song a week, which has been super awesome. Wow. And we get a phrase each week, and we have to include the phrase into the song. And so I've been experimenting and trying different ways to write these songs and definitely pushing myself and going outside of my comfort zone. And it's been really cool. So yeah, it depends, I guess.
There's a rumor that the phrase of the week next week is Mr. Media. How do you think that'll go? Yeah, okay. All right.
I'll work on it.
All right, you work on it. All right. Now, the second song you're going to do for us is Rigid Frame. And I got to ask, what the hell is that? I mean, that's one of the strangest titles for a song I've ever heard. It's like, does Dad drive a monster truck or something? What is this about?
Well, actually, it happened to be one of the songs that was from my songwriting group, and that was the phrase. It was Rigid Frame.
Hmm.
And I initially had no idea what I was going to write about, and then it turned into a kind of ballad, heartbreak song, and about how you're just kind of this rigid person that is no longer, is just like, I just picture somebody that's like very sad and this person is looking at them and it's like, I don't love you anymore. It's very, very sad. Lots of tears.
Killing me here.
But I'm happy, so.
All right. Well, if you're good to go, folks, this is Sarah Miles, again, joining us for her second song, and this is Rigid Frame.
You can keep a listen for the phrase. Here we go.
Another year goes by. Have I done it all right? Or have I lost the fight? Sitting silently. Oh, did I get too close for what I love the most? I don't know. I can barely hear sound with my heart on the ground, but I can't pick it up, pick it up, pick it up again. If you don't love me anymore, if I can't give you what you're looking for, I can pick it up, pick it up, pick it up again. Is there any left to fix, or am I just a rigid frame, left for nothing but the blame? We can find solid ground, work to smile and then see the sun rise up again. This I know. I can barely hear sound with my heart on the ground, but I can't pick it up, pick it up, pick it up again. If you don't love me anymore, if I can't give you what you're looking for, I can pick it up, pick it up, pick it up again. Oh, 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 oh. I can barely hear sound with my heart on the ground, but I can pick it up again. If you don't love me anymore, if I can't give you what you're looking for, I can pick it up, pick it up, pick it up again. Oh, I can pick it up again. Oh, I can pick it up again.
Wow, again, wonderful. Very nice. And your writing group must hate you. Hey, I got one. Let's give her Rigid Frame. She won't be able to write a song about Rigid Frame, right? Yeah. Jeez. So I mentioned before that you had it struck me a little bit country, and you mentioned Jewel, who was always kind of that singer songwriter pop, but has always had that kind of country strain as well. Is that, I mean, would you like to be in the country market? Do you just like to kind of have a taste of that in your sound? What's the
I think just like a taste. I won't lie, I love a good pop song. So I think somewhere that's like a pop country folk genre is kind of where I put myself, which is a lot of different genres, but I like them all.
Well, you know, a country audience is a big, loyal audience. And if you give them a little of what they want, they'll support you a long way. So
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we kind of wind things down. Anyone else in the family have musical talent? Anyone else sing, play anything?
Nobody sings, but my mom's side of the family is pretty musical. My grandfather plays piano. He plays jazz piano. And my aunt is a professional violin player.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's definitely some music in the family, for sure. Not so much on my dad's side. Sorry, Dad. But he's a music appreciator.
Well, we appreciate it. We established before your dad drives a monster truck for a living, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What do your folks do?
My dad is in insurance, and my mom is retired, but she was a realtor.
So, I mean, your dad dreams of driving a monster truck, I'm sure, in the insurance business.
Probably
many times a day.
Yes.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry. all right. So you've got a number of road gigs coming up. Any that you're particularly excited about? I'm guessing the one that takes you back to Vermont, probably. But that's just me.
Totally. Anytime I have the chance to go to Vermont, I'm thrilled. But I'm actually really excited for the next two gigs that I have coming up. I'm playing at Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I think it's going to be really awesome. They have some actually really big acts coming to play. I know, like, Keith Urban is coming, which is really cool. So that should be fun. I know it's a couple of days that they're having the festival, so I'm excited about that. And then when I go to Nashville, I'm playing at Bluebird Cafe, which for those who watch Nashville – is a pretty prominent place where they do some parts of the show. So I'm really excited to play there. I've been there to watch some shows, and it's a pretty special place. So
very cool.
I'm excited.
And what about the whole working musician thing? You're in you're based now, I mentioned earlier, in Princeton, Central Jersey, but you live in New York.
Yep.
You've got a handful of gigs coming up. You've got this new record out today as we're talking.
Right? Yes.
Very exciting. But, I mean, are you making a living as a musician? Do you have to do other things? I know this is the sad part of the conversation, maybe. Do you have to do other things, or are you making it as a musician?
I do other things. I'm actually a nanny for a little six-year-old boy that I adore. So it's worked out quite well. And, I probably wouldn't be able to survive at the moment by myself without the music. But I found a great job that is flexible for what I'm trying to do. So,
some little boy is getting some wonderful bedtime songs, I'm guessing.
Yes. Actually, he's like so excited about the guitar, and I bring over my ukulele sometimes, and he has a blast. So we have fun.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, no disrespect to the family of the little boy, but hopefully you will have other things paying your way before too long.
Yes, yeah. I hope so too.
That would be good. All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find Sarah Miles' third album, Hear Me Out, at great online music retailers such as iTunes, or you can order it right now at a great price on MrMedia.com. You know how this works, folks. Just somewhere down there, you'll see the cover of the album. If you're watching us on MrMedia.com, click on it now. It'll take you to a place where you can buy that album and do so. And then, order it and send it to some friends too. Sarah, I know you've got the website, sarahmilesmusic.com, Twitter, Facebook as well.
Yep, it's super easy. Everything is Sarah/Sarah Miles Music, so pretty easy to find.
And the YouTube channel. I think I'm going to go by memory here. You've got the YouTube channel. You're on Pinterest.
Yep. You
have a Tumblr.
I have a Tumblr.
Am I missing anything?
I'm trying to think what else. Instagram.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can find all those links on my main website to get to everything else. So.
Very nice. Well, Sarah, always delighted to see another Jersey kid, succeeding, and beautiful voice, great songs. And thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Media, today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk, and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
And what you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, these are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot.
Yeah, just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
The Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights. Just a Minute with Joe Ardinger.
Like most people living in California, I am deluding myself that I have the flu. But we all know it's really radiation from Fukushima. Or just the flu.
To hear the rest of this minute, to sample Joe's other minutes, and to subscribe to his newest ones, visit realmnetwork.com. That's realmnetwork.com. Just a Minute with Joe Ardinger, another great Realm Network production. Wednesday afternoons, right here on the Realm Network.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by the Realm Network.